Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 57 of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. I'm your host, Nick Donatic. Hope you all had a wonderful week, as football is finally upon us. This is, you know, the time we've been waiting for, a long offseason. Not that long, though. Stretched out by the draft and free agency and such. But, that being said, you know, we missed our episode last week. That one's on me. We had some technical difficulties and a couple of other issues. But here we are, and I'll have you know I did pick the Bears, so we're 0-1 to start the year. All right, I'm cool with that. Just had to get that out of the way, and we're going to have a little bit of a funky way to do this episode, because we had a standout 7 planned for last week. So we're going to try and go through that in a kind of abbreviated fashion. We'll talk Green Bay Chicago. We'll talk year predictions. These are already written down and documented, so it is what it is. And then we will break down the rest of week one, of the NFL season. I hope you guys are excited. I'm excited. Let's get right into it. And this is an interesting one. It's a little bit back, but, you know, we'll throw it in here. Lamar Miller done for the year with an ACL tear for the Texans. Obviously, we know that now. They made a move, I believe, to acquire Carlos Hyde. And bringing him in is going to be, you know, a nice change of pace to help out, you know, Duke Johnson in replacing Miller. The big hype move everyone wanted was the Melvin Gordon move. He was granted the right to go search for a trade, but obviously, you know, Houston had other things on their plate. They moved Clowney to Seattle, and then they acquire Laremy Tunsil. They were wheeling and dealing all over the place, and part of the reason is because Andrew Luck, just a few days prior, had announced his retirement, and this is an interesting one. The Colts sat on this for a week, and whatever. Either way, you've heard that ad nauseum. Just throwing it in here so we can get it in. LeSean McCoy finds a new home in Kansas City. We'll see how he pitches in that backfield. Should be a pretty good tool. They like guys that are, you know, kind of shifty, kind of versatile. He fits in. Even though he has lost the step and he's getting a little bit older, he could still pitch in. And it is an Andy Reid offense, and he's pretty comfortable with that. Zeke Elliott gets his deal done, reportedly going to play week one. Good for Zeke. Good for the Cowboys, I guess. They're, you know, championship imminent if they're throwing that much money at Zeke Elliott. I mean, he's one of the best backs in the league, but, you know, they haven't locked up Dak yet. Maybe they believe a little bit more in Zeke than they do in Dak, and rightfully so. But, you know, good for Zeke. Good for everyone involved. Kareem Hunt injured. He's going to miss a significant chunk of time here for the Cleveland Browns. So it's real interesting. They bring him in, and, you know, you're assuming, all right, this is kind of a PR thing. It's going to be a little iffy, but he'll contribute. And now, as of the 29th, it's 4 to 6 weeks, so he'll probably miss at least the first month of the season, conservatively. Or he'd come back towards, you know, week four, perhaps. Week three, week four, in that range. It's interesting. I thought he was going to play a decent role in this squad, and he probably still will, and I think Cleveland's looking to make a run. So, all right, interesting enough. Now, while we're here, a couple other news and notes. We mentioned the Tunsil trade, huge haul for Miami. Tunsil's very talented, but, you know, huge haul to bring back draft picks. Clearly they're in a rebuild mode. Rosen's going to get a look this year. If that doesn't work out, obviously it's going to be, you know, Justin Herbert or Tua or whoever's at the top of that draft board for them. They should have a pretty good shot at getting them either way. Now, additionally, Melvin Gordon, we mentioned him, no extension till after the season. They're not looking to talk contract during the year at all with their star running back out there in Los Angeles. And I guess it's a principal thing because they could probably work with him. A lot of teams seem to do this lately, you know, during the year, it's a no-go. After the year, all right. Hopefully it doesn't develop into a Le'Veon Bell situation where the guy just misses a year. He's too talented for that, and, you know, he was battling the fumbleitis and the injuries a handful of years ago. So now that he's reaching peak or prime, it's, you know, not great that he would be dealing with something like this, but it is what it is. Additionally, just want to throw this in here. There was a report from the Washington Post that moving forward with the next CBA, it's more likely the NFL gets expanded playoffs than a longer regular season. Now, if we take a look at it, 32 teams in the league, we've already got 12 playoff teams, yeah? So, that's not bad. I wonder how they would go about doing it. They could expand. Would they go to? There's six in each conference. Would they go to, you know, would they go to seven? They could do that, but only one team would get a bye. Would they go to eight, which you wouldn't really be able to do unless no one got a bye? Because then you'd have, you know, three games that one weekend. You'd be left with five teams. That's not functional. You know, at that point, you got half the conference making the postseason. It'd have to be seven, I assume, with only one bye, or perhaps with three byes. And then you'd have, you know, no, but even then that wouldn't work. No. If you're going to go to seven, it'd have to be one bye. So you can have three teams. It's kind of funky, you know. It's an interesting one. And we already have, you know, 12 out of 32. That's 38% of the league making the postseason. You know, you look at Major League Baseball, it's three divisions and a wild card. If you count the second place wild card team, it doesn't even make it. You know, we have a third of the league. That's even a little bit under. The NBA clocking in at, you know, damn near half the league making the postseason, over half the league making the postseason. You don't want to get too diluted here. I understand there's good parity in the NFL. One of the better leagues in terms of parity. Although the NBA is getting there, but they're a superstar-driven league. You know, Major League Baseball, very good in terms of parity. But football is an any given Sunday thing. And I know if I was a fan of a one seed, I'd be very disappointed if a team that snuck in found a way to knock my team off when, you know, maybe they shouldn't even be in the postseason. Well, that's neither here nor there. That's moving forward. I just think it's an interesting point. Additionally, per Adam Schefter a little bit ago, well, a little bit more than a little bit ago at this point, Jerick McKinnon, running back for the 49ers on season-ending IR with his knee issues. He's been battling a lot for them in terms of injuries since he came over. And, you know, I thought that backfield would play a big role in this team, you know, being successful this year or trying to make a run. They're one of my surprise picks. They were a hot pick last year, not so much this year from what I've heard. But I still think with Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman that they're still pretty darn good. They are, with George Kittle at tight end. We'll see what Jimmy G can fill in. I'm not as high on Jimmy G as everyone else seems to be and always has been, but I'm not low on him. Kyle Juszczyk, the Swiss Army knife. You got some decent wideouts to see if they could pitch in, but this is not a 49er preview show. I just wanted to throw that in there. Additionally, as we move down, obviously the big news of the day, Antonio Brown fined last night $215,000. Voiding the $29 million guaranteed left in his deal. And then he demands a release, and he's granted one. Granted his release, he is now a free agent. Antonio Brown can go wherever he pleases. He's already kind of following the, following the Randy Moss kind of plot line, I guess. So, you know, if New England's looking, maybe. I think this guy might even be too far out there for them. This guy is a little off the reservation. I hope that it's nothing serious. You know what I mean? I hope that there's no mental issues or things like that that he's combating. I hope he's all right. But if it is just, you know, basic diva shenanigans, then, you know, it's a problem. And he's talented. Talented as all hell, but it's hard to pick somebody up like that. I mean, it's not even, you know, like, this is not apples to apples. It's not like a Josh Gordon where he's battling substance abuse and he has an addiction problem. This is a guy who just can't get out of his own way. He has a talk with John Gruden privately, and then he posts it online. What are you doing? What are you doing, man? Did you not want to be a Raider? All right, I get it. But you didn't want to be a Bill either, and now you can choose. Now you can go wherever you want, and you're welcome. They reasonably could have just kind of held him hostage a little bit. You know, maybe you can get if you can get a seventh-round pick for him, it's better than getting nothing. And right now, they got nothing. So, it is what it is, and we'll see where he goes. If I'm a team looking for a wideout, I'm not exactly knocking his door down. Not because he's not talented, but because what do coaches always say? They're not looking for distractions, and this guy is currently leading the league in distraction. You know, as a guy, you know, born and raised New York Giants fan. I've seen Odell Beckham, and I've seen the tabloids make a lot about him, and the media kind of blow up. You know, the boat trip was the big thing, but it doesn't seem that Odell divided a locker room like a guy like Antonio Brown. He's very mercurial. It's very interesting. We had the thing where, you know, supposedly he said Big Ben regrets, you know, I'm sorry, I did this. I wish, you know, it ruined our friendship. We were never friends. And then there's him talking about how they were friends in the past, and supposedly his son asking where Ben is, asking how Ben is on Hard Knocks, and it's a tough one. And then Julio Jones gets re-upped. It's you know, not nearly as shocking for me. Julio Jones, one of the better wideouts in the league. For some people, the best wideout in the league. Of course, Atlanta's going to want to keep him on. They're going to want to keep him a Falcon his whole career. Good for Julio. Congratulations to him. Now, before we get into our week one breakdown of Bears-Packers, and before we get into our week one preview, the reason why everyone's here, the reason why I'm here, my favorite part of the show, we're going to have to go over our postseason predictions very quickly. We were supposed to do it last week. I'm sorry, once again. You know, things come up. We had to give it a pass, but, you know, we have another show on our network that did an NFL preview on Wednesday. Hope you guys listened to that. It was fantastic. You know, trying to expand, trying to broaden our content horizons, trying to, you know, grow the network. So that was fantastic. So they got my back. But here I am, and we'll fill in my pieces. It's going to be kind of interesting because I might have to walk back a pick or two as we went through here. So, if you remember, my division winners were the Rams, Cowboys, Vikings, and Saints in the NFC. And my wild card teams were the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Seahawks acquired Jadeveon Clowney after I make my predictions, which is on me, I guess. You know, we planned it a little too far in advance. Maybe we should just do a one-episode preview mega special, but I think 2 hours is a little too long, guys. You know, keeping it at an hour is usually my ideal thing for you guys, between 40 minutes and an hour. Let me know what you think, like, as always, in the comments, where you're listening to this, or at Nick Donatic on social media. Let me know what you think. You know, a little bit longer is a little bit better. Maybe a little bit shorter is a little bit better. Either way, neither here nor there currently. So I had, before, on the outside looking in, the Chicago Bears, the Seahawks, and the Atlanta Falcons. I still probably have the Falcons just barely on the outside looking in. Who knows, maybe with the big contract, Julio goes off even more than usual, and he already goes off all the time. But I think defensively they're not as stout as they'd like to be. Not that the 49ers have a stout defense, but I like their defense a little bit better. Philly, when Carson Wentz was at the helm a few years ago, they were the best team in football. Carson Wentz was phenomenal. I think Carson Wentz kind of returns to form a little bit, especially with Nick Foles not looking over his shoulder anymore. So, and we saw Chicago play pretty mediocre on offense and very well on defense, but pretty mediocre on offense. That's why I had them on the outside looking in. So that leaves us 1-6, Saints, Rams, Vikings, Cowboys, Niners, Eagles. I won't change it. I considered changing it, but you know what? I'll hold to it. Seattle looking a little bit better with Jadeveon Clowney, if you ask me. But I'll hold to it. Not going to be the case, probably. We'll get to the Colts in a second. I'll see how honest and dedicated I am. So that leaves us with first-round matchups of Minnesota hosting the Eagles and the Cowboys hosting the Niners. I bet you the NFL wouldn't mind Cowboys-Niners in its 100th anniversary season. That would be traditional. That would be beautiful. Vikings-Eagles, another one. Purple People Eaters versus, you know, Fly Eagles Fly. In that one, I'd take the home team and the Vikings, and I'd take the Niners on the road, which is a bit of an upset pick, which would mean in our second round, we would have Saints hosting the Niners and the Rams hosting the Vikings. I'm going to pick a rematch of last year's NFC Championship, Saints-Rams, but this year, no PI to hold it off. The Saints win at home once again to go to the Super Bowl. Probably should have went to, you know, Super Bowl maybe almost 3 years in a row. Last year, I'd say definitely. The year before, hosed themselves in Minnesota. Let's take the Saints out of the NFC. Now, on the American Football Conference side of the bracket, my division winners were Patriots, Browns, Chiefs, and those guys in Indianapolis, the Colts. All right, so here's where it gets interesting, guys. So the Texans trade Clowney. I figured, you know, Clowney would either be disgruntled and not play the whole season, or it'd be kind of iffy. But then they acquire Laremy Tunsil to help shore up the weakest part of their team, the offensive line. You know, the pass rush was always good. The secondary was always decent. You know, the linebacking core was pretty good. So, with that being said, here's the thing. I want to hold to the Colts. I want to be that guy, right? But I can't do it, guys. I can't. I like Jacoby Brissett. I can see the Colts contending for a postseason spot, as weird as that sounds. Their core is still very good. And Jacoby Brissett has been talented in spurts. He has. But I can't do it. If they can protect Deshaun Watson more, even without Lamar Miller, I think Carlos Hyde will be a pretty decent bell cow along with Duke Johnson kind of filling in. I think this team could be pretty productive. I'm still very hazy on their offensive threats outside of Hopkins and the gang. It's a little interesting, to say the least, to me. I'd rather have, I guess, the Colts kind of skill position burst. Although, you know, DeAndre is one of the best wideouts in football. I'll take the Texans. I'm probably going to regret it. They're always injury hampered. But I'll take the Texans just by way of, you know, not being able to take Brissett to be your starting quarterback first season into the playoffs. Although, it's not impossible. And then, for the wild card, I had an interesting little foursome competing. I had the Texans in that group, and now I have them winning the division. So I'll put the Colts in their spot. The Colts, the Jets, the formerly San Diego Superchargers, and then a Ravens-Steelers little combo piece. Now, I have the Chiefs as the one seed, obviously. Pats as the two. The Browns at the three. The Texans at the four by way of their division winner. I have the Los Angeles Superchargers, even sans Melvin Gordon, as my five seed. And six is where it gets foggy, because I'm high on the Jets this year. But their secondary isn't great. I'm higher on the Ravens secondary. The Colts, minus Luck, I can't. Like I said, I can't do it. It wouldn't shock me, but I can't do it. Which leaves me with Jets, Ravens, Steelers. It's hard to pick against Big Ben. He's been there so many times. But I think the Jets may come up a step short, and I think the Steelers are in a transitional year. I think they make some moves in the offseason. I think the Ravens bring home this sixth spot, which makes for an interesting first-round matchup. I think it's going to be a year full of interesting matchups. As we're looking at the 100th anniversary, it's supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? We're supposed to get funky matchups like this. So, first round, we have a Battle of Baltimore. No, not Colts-Ravens. Battle of Cleveland, rather. Excuse me. Baltimore to Cleveland in the first round, and the Chargers heading to Houston. I'm going to take the Browns to win their first playoff game in what seems like eons. And then the Chargers to upset the Texans on the road. Like I said, by then they'll be battling more injuries than I could even predict. Give me the Chargers, and I'd hope, for their sake, Melvin Gordon is playing by then. Which leaves us with a second-round matchup of mostly chalk. Chiefs-Chargers in Kansas City, and Pats-Browns in New England. I'm taking the Pats, I'm taking the Chiefs, and I'm taking this to play out similarly to how it did this year. I want to take Pats Saints. I think it'd be an interesting matchup, you know, of all the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in such a big year for the NFL. But I want to see if the Chiefs can take that next step, and I'm going to have faith. I'm going to think the Chiefs can take that next step, take on the Saints in the Super Bowl, and the Saints bring it home. I know. It's interesting to me. It's been a little while that the Saints could arguably have been in that Super Bowl, but now I think they finally get there, finally bring it home. Quickly, through the end-of-year awards, I think the MVP, and there's a big reason I'm picking the Saints, MVP of the league is going to be Drew Brees. I think he's set up for a big year. I think he's been set up for a big year for a while with a lot of talent around him. But you know what? I think they're going to come out with a little bit of a vengeance after last year's awful ending. Then we're going to go through the other yearly awards, obviously. Coach of the Year, I was going to give it to Frank Reich in Indianapolis. But it gets a little interesting here. I mean, Freddie Kitchens will probably be a good candidate out in Cleveland if they do make the postseason. Shanahan out in San Francisco if they make the postseason. But you know what? Let's keep it to Frank Reich. I think if this team contends without Andrew Luck, that'll be good enough. that'll be good enough for the voters, because you know what? I think it might be good enough for me to make it interesting. Then we have the Offensive and Defensive Players of the Year. Offensive Player of the Year, I'm expecting a big year out of Cleveland, and I'm expecting a big year out of Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't say it's odd to see a quarterback win this. Usually it's a skill position player, but I'm going to go with Baker, and let's see what he could do this year for the Cleveland Browns. Defensive Player of the Year, it's hard to pick anyone that's not Aaron Donald. It seems to be the Aaron Donald Award this year, just like it was the J.J. Watt Award a few years ago. I'll keep it going. I'll go with Aaron Donald. Offensive Rookie of the Year, and one of the reasons I'm taking the Ravens, Marquise Brown, the wide receiver. I think he'll step up and make contribution. I think this Ravens team, which was super run-heavy with Lamar last year, can probably try to work the pass in a little bit more schematically. I don't think Lamar is as poor a passer as a lot of people think. He does lollipop some deep balls, but I think with the right scheme, with the right guys around him, he can be a competent passer. I think he can be an above-average passer. And I think we'll see that, and I think Marquise Brown will help. Defensive Rookie of the Year, stepping into an already packed defensive core of the Jaguars, Josh Allen. I think we'll throw him in there. I'm surprised he slipped as far as he did. Surprised the Giants didn't take him, or at least trade their pick to someone who wanted to. But, alas, I think he makes them and everyone above the Giants who passed on him, regret it a little bit. And I think he goes off and has a pretty darn good year for the Jaguars. Now, let's get into Green Bay, Chicago. Or the, you know, it'll probably be as entertaining as the game, guys. So who popped up off your screen during that game? I asked you that kind of generally, and obviously you can't reply, but I'll tell you who came off the screen for me. Roquan Smith and Allen Robinson. And on some plays, you know, guys like Blake Martinez, Za'Darius Smith here and there, Adrian Amos with a nice interception, Preston Smith, a sack and a half. None of the big names. Aaron Rodgers did not have an Aaron Rodgers game. He threw for 200 yards. Get out of here with the shenanigans. 200 yards. Aaron Jones ran for 3 yards a carry. Ran for 40 yards. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think he's pretty darn talented. I think he's pushing towards a decent number two receiver for them. Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown. That surprised me. Not much happened in this game. And I don't mean that from I love 40 to 38 games. No. I mean, quite literally, this game was fairly uneventful. There were 17 punts and 13 points. Yeah. Last road win versus the Bears when the Packers scored 10 or less, 1932. They won 2-0. This was a throwback game. You know, for the old heads out there, and I hate to use that term, but that's the best one I got. For the old heads, the older fans, they're looking at the 100th anniversary season, and they're remembering football in its heyday and its glory days for them. You know, this was probably a pretty darn good game for them. 10-3. Phenomenal. This was a Ray Nitschke, Bart Starr game, yeah? No, it was boring. It was an awful game. This was just like the Super Bowl for my money. It's the first game since the snoozery that was the Super Bowl, and it's the snoozery again. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Amos Burns' old squad with that interception. You know, Mitch Trubisky with the Eli Manning-esque lob it up into the corner of the end zone just because, you know, kind of interception towards the tail end of the game. Why did he lob it up there? I don't know particularly. Later in the game, you know, you see the Packers go for it. Excuse me, the Packers throw it on 2nd and 5 when they're trying to run out the clock, and Rodgers throws it completely behind his wideout, and it stops the clock, almost intercepted, and then didn't matter because, you know, the Bears had no offense anyway. They might as well have, you know, ran Jay Cutler out there in his jeans. But and from the Bears' offensive standpoint, like I said, Allen Robinson, pretty darn good game. 7 catches, 102. Mitch Trubisky, nothing crazy on the ground. The Packers' defense was fantastic. I'd say this, though, the Bears' defense impressed me more because I think the Packers have more talent on their offensive side of the ball. But that being said, you know, Packers bring home their first win of the season, you know, which is fitting, you know. They win the first game of the 100th season. They won the first Super Bowl, so that's cool, I guess. Tariq Cohen, 8 catches for 49, not much. I don't believe he got a carry on the ground. Trubisky contained in terms of mobility, 3 carries for 11 yards. They brought in Cordarrelle Patterson, to kind of, you know, be another version of Tariq Cohen and kind of work together. Cordero didn't do much, if anything. Taylor Gabriel had his biggest catch that wasn't a catch, you know? And that's the way it is. Bears' offense still not so great. And they got to Rodgers, too. 2 sacks for Leonard Floyd, 1 sack for Akeem Hicks, 1 sack for Aaron Lynch. And my boy Roy Robertson Harris had one as well, and he was everywhere. He only had 3 tackles, but it seemed for a stretch of time he was just kind of all over the screen blowing stuff up. You know, good for him, playing pretty darn well. Eddie Pinheiro hit a field goal, so there you go, Bears fans. You got a made kick. That's a win, right? All right. Well, sorry, guys. I wish it was a better game, but you know what? It's a start to our season, and I'd be willing to bet money we're going to get a lot of touchdowns this coming season, obviously. And here's the one thing another thing that stuck out to me. Not the one thing, obviously, as I've gone through 5 or 6. Another thing that stuck out to me, head coach Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers in his inaugural game as head coach supposedly told Al Michaels and the gang that he wasn't really looking to challenge any PIs because it was going to be interesting, but I would have done the opposite, and I'm glad he did do the opposite. Let's see how these guys officiate it. Let's, you know, test the waters. Let's feel it out. And he did it on a play which was, if it was a PI, it would have been very ticky-tack. Looked like a slight push-off, if at all. And, you know, he loses it, and it costs him a timeout, and then they got to burn another timeout, and they're really in a poor situation in terms of timeout management. And then all of a sudden, you know, doesn't matter. Trubisky gave it away. They were driving down the field. The best their offense had looked all night when they got to the red zone pre-2-minute warning. And Trubisky on third down just kind of chucks it up into double coverage, expecting a magical Calvin Johnson effort from his wide receiver. Yeah, didn't happen. Shockingly, did not happen. Anyway, that brings us to the pick'em portion of this week's show. Everyone's favorite portion, my favorite portion. And we're going to start this week with an interesting matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, this matchup is interesting to me because the Jaguars could be, you know, who knows, maybe they get some sneaky production out of guys like DJ Chark and their offense takes a step forward. With Nick Foles over Blake Bortles, I think they will take a step up, but how much so? Will they be able to keep up with the Chiefs? I'm not sure. I like this Chiefs offense a lot. This Chiefs defense still not fantastic for my money. But with that being said, I think the Chiefs win this one. I think obviously there's going to be a lot of opportunities for guys like AJ Boye and Jalen Ramsey to make a play, for Jalen Ramsey to start trash talking and shenanigans like that. But with that being said, you can only hold them for so long. I think it'll be a matter of time before the dam breaks in this one. I don't know how much bend but don't break can work against this Chiefs squad. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to start off what should be a pretty darn good season with a win on the road. Next, we have a matchup of two teams that missed the playoffs last year despite being pretty darn talented. Falcons at Minnesota Vikings. These are 1 p.m. kicks, obviously, starting chronologically. And this one's also pretty interesting to me. I think this one could be pretty high scoring, and it's a battle of two quarterbacks that are right on that tipping point, I would say. You know, obviously, Matt Ryan, much more highly regarded than Kirk Cousins, but neither one of them's won at all. Matty Ice, kind of getting up there in age. You know, he's not Tom Brady's age, but he's getting up there, and there was the one playoff run, and they choke in the Super Bowl, which wasn't all on him. Kirk Cousins, no such playoff run. You got to make a play eventually. Obviously, he got his money, but you got to make that run eventually. I'd be intrigued to see how the Vikings view Kirk Cousins. You know, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I'd be intrigued to see how they view him moving forward. Obviously, you know, they paid him, so you do what you got to do. But I think the Vikings, being at home, might bring this one home. I'll take them. I'm not confident in it. I've picked them to be pretty darn good a couple of years in a row. They burned me. You know, it's a la Tampa Bay. For those of you that have been around, you know my dealings with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. So this is a Tampa Bay feel for me. But that being said, can't miss a shot if you don't take the shot. So let's take a shot with the Minnesota Vikings and see what they could do this year in an NFC North that I believe is kind of open. Packers made a lot of improvements on defense, but we only saw those improvements against the Bears. We haven't seen them against a team with a real offense. No disrespect, Bears fans, but didn't exactly look fantastic out there. Didn't normally look fantastic anyway, even if you almost snatched that game away from Philly last year. But I think this division's wide open. I really do. I think the Packers, like I said, I had the Packers bottom of the pack because I'm high on Detroit. I really am. For some reason, I know. High on Detroit. It's hard to say. But let's see if Minnesota can't bring it home. Next, we have the Tennessee Titans heading to Cleveland for a battle of two high draft pick quarterbacks that are on different trajectories, for my money. Baker Mayfield, first-year Pro Bowler, kind of a budding star, budding superstar, really, with the Browns looking like a team that's going to be, you know, not even a sneaky contender, a popular pick. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Freddie Kitchens to keep it together. Then, on the other side, you have the Titans, who have made the playoffs with Mariota, but Mariota's contract coming to a close soon hasn't really gotten them where, you know, obviously to the promised land. When you draft a quarterback that high, you think he's going to get you to the playoffs consistently, or at least, you know, get you a Super Bowl. I say at least, like it's easier, but neither has happened, and this is a big year for him. And Coach Mike Vrabel as well. I think Mike Vrabel is a pretty darn good coach, but this is going to be a tipping point year for the Titans, and I think they're going to start to tip the wrong direction when the Browns win at home. Next, we have a divisional matchup. First of two in the 1 o'clock setting. First between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets from the Meadowlands. I'm not high on the Bills' skill position players. I've said that for a while, and now I'm equally not as high with McCoy gone, although maybe that means some more carries for my boy TJ Yeldon. I could see the Bills trying to find a way to sneak this one away. I could see the Jets throwing this one away, because that's just what the Jets do. But I'll take the Jets. They are the better squad. They are at home. They should win this one, especially with Lev Bell so excited to play again. The guy was saying he'd carry the ball 50 times if they'd let him, and if they wanted him to, rather. I don't know if he'd want to, but he'd do it. And it's real interesting to me. Let's see how far the Jets can take the momentum off of this one. Let's see how they could do this year. Take the Jets. Next, we have a battle of two high draft pick quarterbacks. Well, not really, but Ravens at Dolphins. Lamar Jackson, drafted tail end of the first round, taking on a late round pick in Fitzmagic as the high pick. Rosen sits on the bench. Fitzmagic, notorious for hot starts to start the year, but I don't think they're a great matchup for the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to be out looking to make a pretty darn good run this year, especially with Pittsburgh, their bitter rival, you know, kind of on a downswing, at least if it's temporarily, or at least possibly temporarily. And the Browns, you know, shooting like a rocket. If Lamar Jackson could take some steps forward this year, they can keep pace with this Browns team, and I think we'll start to see that this week as they take down Miami in Miami. Not to mention, it's just a pretty good pick to pick against Miami. Next, we have our other divisional matchup and our second to final 1 o'clock kick. The Washington Redskins head to Philly to take on the Eagles. I'm not taking Washington. They're not starting Haskins. Not that I would pick them if they started Haskins, but I just don't think they're as good as this Philly squad. Like I said, I think Carson Wentz is going to have a big year. I think he's going to try and prove, you know, hey, everybody's talking about Jared Goff. Well, pre-Super Bowl. People are talking about giving Dak all this money. You know, I was almost an MVP, guys. Come on. Philly takes that one home. Our final one is going to be an interesting one, an interdivisional matchup in Carolina. The Rams take on the Panthers. Now the Rams, fresh off one of the worst Super Bowl showings we've seen from a team that's supposed to be an offensive juggernaut. You know, team hasn't scored that few points since, what, the 2000 Giants against the Ravens? And that was one of the best defenses ever. Nobody would argue that Pat's team was one of the best defenses ever. I'm going to take the Rams on the road here. Yeah, I think there might be a slight Super Bowl hangover, and if we see it, it'll start to manifest itself this week. But I don't think it'll be tremendous. I think Sean McVay is a better coach than that, and I think they come out and win this one. Next, we head to the first of two 4:05 kicks, and what I would argue is a trap game. The Indianapolis Colts head to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. This one's interesting for me. Because previously, like I said, with Andrew Luck, I had the Colts winning the division. I could have seen this being a shootout, probably game of the week potential. It could still be a pretty good game. I say it's a sneaky good game because the Chargers still without Mel Gordon. They're a good squad, though. I think the Chargers win this one at home. I think Jacoby Brissett doesn't play as well as he will later in the year. He won't be in exactly midseason form. I don't think he's known he was going to be the starter for more than a handful of weeks. Obviously, we said the Colts knew for, you know, a week before they let it slip out or it got reported by Adam Schefter. You wonder how much did Luck tell Brissett? Did he kind of try and put him on, say, hey, look, kid, you know, I'm not feeling this football thing. But I think the Colts play better in the second half than the first, but they don't get close enough, and the Chargers bring this one home. Only other 4:05 kick, Bengals at Seahawks. I'm not going to waste your time. Bengals are not a great squad. They're on the road against Seattle, who, with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, is still a pretty good squad. They were good before Clowney. But I think that pass rush is going to be too much for Dalton and the gang. I think this is going to be a vintage Seattle game, and they win this one fairly dominantly at home. Might not be, you know, 30-0, but I think they'll dominate the game, perhaps via time of possession, perhaps just be a pass rush with Clowney there now. But give me Seattle to go 1-0 in this one. Next, we have the game that seemed to always be the Sunday 8:20 game to start the year, and I'm a little tired of this matchup in week one, to be blunt. Giants-Cowboys in Dallas, just like every time. It's always in Dallas, you know. Change it up once in a while, guys. Please stop with the Giants-Cowboys in week one. Come on, the Giants haven't been true contenders in a minute now, and the Cowboys are just a better squad. Cowboys-Eagles is a much better game on this day. If you want to go division, go Cowboys-Eagles, please. Please. Giants-Cowboys in Dallas. I'm taking Dallas. I think the Giants have enough talent to make a lot of games close. I think they could surprise a couple of teams. You know, they won't be Miami, but they won't be the Patriots. Give me the Cowboys to win this one at home. Next, we got 49ers at Bucks 425 in Tampa. This one's interesting to me because I think Bruce Arians coming in is probably the one move that could have a big impact on Jameis Winston's career. I think Jameis has always had the talent, but for some reason has never been able to take that extra step. Bruce Arians with that quarterback guru gene, yeah? If anyone could do it, it's him, and there's talent surrounding him in the receiving core, not so much in the running back position. Peyton Barber is a decent back. I'm intrigued to see how this one plays out. Like I said, I'm high on San Fran, and I think it starts this week. I think the Niners bring this one home. Next, our final 425 kick, you know, in contention for a snoozer of the week, we got Lions-Cardinals. It's Kyler Murray's first game. I think this game is probably going to remind me of, you know, remember when Cam Newton first came into the league and he played the Cardinals in week one and he put up a bunch of stats, but it didn't really matter. It was kind of a meaningless game. That's what I think this game might be. I'm taking Detroit to win this one. I think Matt Stafford's going to fling the ball all over the yard. I think Kyler Murray has the chance to. I'm not sure he has the talent around him to be able to, but I think he'll play better than he did during the preseason for sure. Hopefully, he looked a little overwhelmed in that game against the Raiders a couple weeks ago. I'm hoping that was just, you know, poor matchup, poor blocking, poor whatever. Yeah, let's see how Kyler plays in this one. Keep an eye out, but I hope they keep him, you know, at the least keep him from getting hit too much against this, you know, Snacks Harrison and Devon Kennard-led pass rush. Give me Detroit. Our Sunday night game, the Steelers at Foxborough against the Patriots. Let me say this. I love Steelers-Patriots as much as the next guy. I think this is going to be a great game. But the Patriots should have been able to open at home. The defending champ should always be able to open at home. We saw, you know, open on Thursday night at home. We saw the Ravens a few years ago. They couldn't get a game in, clowning around, you know what I mean? They had to go to Denver and they get thrashed. And then we see now New England doesn't even get to play the first game. It's a problem for my money, you know, and I don't know the rationale behind it. I get wanting to put a premier rivalry forward, you know, but you could have put that game on Sunday night, you know? You could have had this all be rivalry games. You could have had Saints Falcons and, you know, Bucks Panthers and then Rams at the Seahawks. That could have been cool. Or, you know, if you just want to do a handful, I'm cool with that too. But putting a rivalry like this in the Sunday night niche is always good, but it should have been the opening game of the year. defending champions deserve to play the first game. It's just the way it is. Then they get to have a long week before the second one. It's just the perks, you know? It is what it is. All right. So how am I leaning on this one? I think the Patriots are the better squad. I think Pittsburgh is going to be, like I said before, they're going to take a step back, but they're still going to be a decent team. I still like James Conner. I love Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know if he could be a number one, but he was a darn good number two, and I'd like to see him try. I want to see how it goes. If he takes another step forward, he's going to be one of the best wideouts in the league. So give me New England in this one, but I think this one will be pretty entertaining. We got a great game kicking off the Monday doubleheader. 7:10, Texans at Saints. This is going to be a good game. I really do think so. I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints because they're at home and they're the Saints. That's what they do. They win at home. But with Laremy Tunsil aiding that offensive line, I think the Texans put up a bit of a fight, although I don't think they're on the Saints level for my money. Last game of the week, it's not a snoozer, but it'll contend for it. Snoozer of the week. Broncos at Raiders. Sans Antonio Brown, 10:20. Monday kick, the West Coast doubleheader, or second dip of our doubleheader. I'm taking Joe Flacco and the Broncos to win this one on the road. Minus Antonio Brown, I think this Raiders offense is going to be mediocre at best. With Antonio Brown, you could argue they probably wouldn't have been they definitely would have been better. He's a great wideout when he's on the field. If he can keep his head straight when it's between his shoulders, I'm going to take the Broncos. I think, not that Flacco's a better quarterback than Derek Carr, but I think he's got more to work with, and I think they definitely have a better defense, and I think they put on a show on the defensive side of the ball. All right, folks, you know what time it is. You've been here before. That brings us to the end of the pick 'em portion of this week's episode of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. I'm glad football's back, guys. I hope you guys are excited. Football is finally back. We're going to have a full slate of games this week. I hope it's a great week, and I think some of these games are going to be pretty darn good. As always, I'll see you next week for our preview, our Standout 7, our Pick'em portion. All the shenanigans will be back. I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, signing off.